So the topic today is new creation, and we have been doing this series about doctrine so far. We have started it off in March, talking about the deity of Christ, original sin, canon of scripture, Trinity, resurrection of Christ on Resurrection Sunday. Incarnation of Christ, the last one, where I'm so sorry that I have to torture you with my voice. But today, August the 3rd, we are going to the second last one, which is talking about new creation. And of course, a very quick summary of all this. If you want to take a photo, please do. All right, we talk about the deity of Christ. These are some of the things that we have talked about. There are direct scriptural claims about all this. There are evidences. And we did see that Jesus gave up some of his divine attributes while on earth because he is limited to his physical body. That's why he cannot be everywhere, anywhere at the same time. And why was Jesus' deity necessary? We are covering it, or we have covered that in the original sin. And this is the conclusion, this is the summary when we talk about the deity of Christ, that Jesus Christ is God because the scripture supports it. And he is eternal, he is sovereign, he is all-powerful, he is all-knowing. And he is God because only someone who is infinitely God could bear the full penalty of our sins. We have covered that, and we have been going through this again and again, reminding you. And the next one that we talk about is the original sin. What is sin? We talk about what is sin. We talk about where did it come from, and did we inherit a sinful nature from Adam? And for some of us, we may reply, this is not fair because we were not there in the Garden of Eden. If we were there, maybe we would not sin as Adam and Eve did. And why was Jesus' deity necessary? So we have covered all these questions. And in the summary, this is the summary. Sin is any failure to conform to the moral law of God in our action, in our attitude towards one another, in our human nature. It is impossible for us to come to God naturally. And this is why this is something that we will cover later in our new creation. And sin is defined in relation to God, moral law, and all of mankind has come to sin, and we are destined for eternal condemnation in the lake of fire, but we are thanking God because of one righteous act by Jesus that resulted in justification and life for all people, you and me. Then we talk about the canon of Scripture. What are the books that belong in the Bible, the four characteristics of the Bible, and the practical applications of the Bible? Do you still remember how many books are there in the Bible? Pass. Okay, not too bad. All right, so the Bible consists of all these 66 books, 39, 27. 3 times 9 equals to 27. All right, very easy to remember. 39 Old Testament, 27 from the New Testament, 40 authors over a span of 1,500 years. And these are the things that we have covered. And the important part that we need to remember is that to disbelieve or disobey any word in the scripture is to disbelieve or disobey God. Because the scripture is the revelation from God to us. The scripture is God, according to John 1. All right? Then we tackle Trinity, a very interesting concept that can only be found in our God. We talk about the possibility of water into three forms, apples, egg, anything falls short of us understanding Trinity. So how can God be three persons and yet one God? And the three statements as summary, we talk about the distinctions between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why are they three different beings, three different persons, and what are the applications of all this? And God exists eternally as three persons, God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Each person in the Trinity is fully God, and yet there's only one God. The Holy Spirit submits to the Father and the Son submits to the Father. God the Father initiates, the Son is the agent, and the Holy Spirit is the means. Unity and diversity are reflected in human relationships that God has established here on earth. We have the unity of marriage, unity of the church, and unity between Christ and the church. So we have covered that during the sermon about the Trinity. And on Resurrection Sunday, we talk about the resurrection of Christ. There are some non-Christian historical references about it. And once we heard about the resurrection of Christ, what are some of the options available for us? We can respond in doubt. We can be unbelief, or we can believe. And we see through Thomas' response, he was unbelieving. And then until he met Jesus Christ in person, he believed. And we also see in the changes in the apostles, there are some very obvious changes in the apostles. And of course, the significance of the resurrected Christ. So this is a summary. Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture, buried, raised on the third day, appeared to Peter, to the 12, and there are non-Christian historical references. They did not affirm the resurrection. They did not say that Jesus Christ came back from the dead. All right, these are non-Christian historical references. But they do note that there is a sudden change in the behavior of so-called Christians after Jesus came back from the dead. All right? And we are called blessed because we are those who have not seen and yet has believed. And we can now continue to labor steadfastly in the Lord's word, focusing on our future heavenly reward as our goal and stop yielding to our sin in our lives because we serve a living Christ. And the last one that we covered before today's sermon is that we talk about the incarnation of Christ, the virgin birth, that human weaknesses and limitations is visible in Jesus Christ, and why was Jesus' full humanity necessary? All right, so this is a summary. God sent his own son, Jesus Christ, conceived in the womb of his mother Mary by a miraculous work of the Holy Spirit and without a human father when the set time had fully come. Salvation came to all mankind through Jesus Christ, the unity of full deity and full humanity in one person. And the virgin birth ensures Christ's true humanity is without inherited sin. Jesus Christ had the body, human mind, human soul, human emotions, and he did not temporarily become man. His divine nature was permanently united to his human nature. We are going to see him soon in the future in his form. And this is important. It is necessary because it represents our adoption to be child of God. It is a representative obedience that we can obey God just as Jesus did. And it is a substitute sacrifice for our sin. He is our mediator between God and man. He is our example in life. And he shows us the first fruits of our redeemed body, the resurrected body. And he, because he is born as a human, he can sympathize with us as the high priest. He understands us. So when we talk about suffering here on earth, he understands. He has gone through all this. He understands thirst. He understands hunger. He understands anger. So he understands us. As we move on to our sermon today, how many of you know Wan Yu Utama Shopping Mall? You know, right? How many of you know? All right, so we have the guests, obviously, who do not know Wan Yu Utama Shopping Mall. All right, I'm going to ask you a few questions. You just point, all right? You just point where you think, all right, this shopping mall, all right? Can you point to me which one is the old wing? Can you point to me which one is the new wing? Can you point to me which one is the new old wing? Can you point to me which one is the old new wing? Can you point to me which one is Wan Yu Utama E? Lost. Gotcha. The old wing was built and completed in September 1995. The old wing was added officially in the year 2003, officiated in 2004. There is this new old wing where they refurbished the old wing and now it's new. It's completed in June 2011. And now the new wing becomes old. That's why we call it the old new wing. And in 2018, there was this part called Wan Yu Utama E that was added. So you see, in one shopping mall, it's complicated. There's new, there's old, there's old new, old new old. When we look into our lives, can the people closest to us recognize us as a new person or an old person or a new old person or an old new person or a new old person? Have you ever heard of the people closest to you share something that, hey, I noticed you have changed? You have changed after either you go to church or you have accepted Jesus Christ. And we see that the change comes from within. And the change is initiated by God. Let me challenge you to turn to Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 to 28. We see that God is the one that actively brings His people back to Him. It is not how good the people are. It's not how good we behave and what we have done that deserve to be called back into the heavenly kingdom. But God was the one that reached out to the people at where they are, and He is the one that is giving the new heart and the new spirit. And all this is especially clear in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 to 28. The Israelites, they were in exile right now. They were in Babylon. And they were in that state because of their sinfulness, their hardened hearts, because they don't want to turn back to God. And this is what God said to His people. Verses 25 to 28, I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people and I will be your God. So we see that in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 to 28, God cleanses us by removing impurities and idol worship. God gives us a new heart and the Holy Spirit to replace our hardened heart and dead spirit. And God is the one who enables us to obey His decrees and law. And then we will be God's people. We will be God's people. So God was the one who initiated salvation. God is the one who is initiating the new heart and the new spirit because He wants us to be His people. And we see this accomplished in the work of Jesus Christ. Today, we don't have Israel as our promised land. The promised land for us today is the heavenly kingdom that is to come. And for that to happen, something must change. Our flesh cannot fit the eternal heavenly kingdom. God has to change us from within. God has changed the hearts of the Israelites. God has changed some of us from within, spiritually. Because only transformed people can enjoy a transformed land. Now, John is saying this is John chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. Yet to all who did receive Jesus Christ, to those who believe in His name, God gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. Born of God. So the question today, before we even talk further, is that, are you already born of God? And after this, we'll look into a very interesting conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus, right? And these are some of the questions that we are tackling when we talk about new creation. New creation, is it equal to born again? Is it equal to regeneration, which is a theological term? Are they the same? Are we referring to the same thing? And when we talk about new creation, the one question that we usually ask is, how did it happen? How did it happen? And of course, after we talk about new creation, there must be a genuine regeneration. And genuine regeneration brings results in life. Something that we can see in you, in me, that is different. Now, the danger is this. Tozer said this, all right? It is my opinion that tens of thousands of people, if not millions, have been brought into some kind of religious experience by accepting Christ, and they have not been saved. If your Christian conversion did not reverse the direction of your life, if it did not transform it, if it did not transform your life, then you are not converted at all. You are simply a victim of the accept Jesus heresy. There was a study that was being done in churches about 10 years ago. And shockingly, 1/3, 33-34%, generally in a church, they are professing Christians, but they are not born again. They say they are Christian, but they are not born again. So the question that we need to think about today is that, do we call ourselves Christian, but yet we are not born again? So what does it mean by new creation and being born again, or the term regeneration? Regeneration is a secret act of God in which He imparts new spiritual life to us. This is also known as being born again. And at this point, we are now a new creation. We are now a new creation. Something happened when we encounter God. God was the one who changes from within. And after that change, we are now a new creation. Now, this point, we can say for sure that we are born again, that we are now a Christian. If you have a Bible with you, let's turn to John chapter 3, verses 3 to 8. Let me read to you very quickly. This is the conversation between Nicodemus and also Jesus. He came late at night asking Jesus some questions. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And how can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Now, whenever we see the scripture, "very truly," truly, truly, all right, it is to say that we should take extra measures, extra consideration, extra attention here. You will notice that Jesus gave a situation. Nobody can see the kingdom of God condition unless they are born again. There's this condition here. Nobody can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Nobody can belong in the heavenly kingdom unless they are born again. And with this question, you know, how? We cannot go inside our mother's womb and come up again, right? Now, this is basically what Nicodemus asked. And you will notice that Jesus is answering with more specific this time, but the same answer. Jesus answered in verse 5, "Very truly," again, truly, truly, "very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven unless they are born of water and the Spirit." Unless they are born again. How? How they are born again? They are born of water and the Spirit. And he explained further. "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying, at my saying that you must be born again." There is this thing going on. And Nicodemus is surprised that something that must be changed before we can actually see and enter the kingdom of God. So for us today, all right, the term Christian has been loosely used. Some of us, we call ourselves Christians because we are born in the Christian family. Some of us, we call ourselves Christian because we come to church every Sunday. Some of us, we call our Christians because, look cool. I have a necklace. I have a car bumper sticker. Born again Christian. Now, this phrase is redundant. Why is it redundant? Because to become a Christian in the New Testament, one must be born again. You cannot be a Christian if you are not born again. If you are born again, automatically you call yourself a Christian. So when we call ourselves born again Christian, we are saying that we are Christian, which is why it is redundant. And that is the danger of it, because apparently our understanding of what Christianity is all about is so blurred, is so obscured today. When we call ourselves Christian, if you are born during the New Testament time, when you call yourself as a Christian, people understand that you follow Jesus Christ. And they mock you for it. Today, when we call ourselves Christians, in our IC, you know, in our identity card, it is known as a religion. Only the people that you work with, only the people that you have relationship with, will know truly whether you are a Christian or not. Because you are changed from the inside out. And of course, there are people who wants to become a Christian, but not a born-again Christian. Have you heard of conversation like that? I want to become a Christian, but I don't want to be born again. I want to be a Christian, I want to follow Jesus Christ, but I don't want to go through water baptism, some of them. Some of them, they don't want to be identified as Christian. Not nice lah. You know, people will call you names, people will mock you. So in your workplace, in your relationship, in your family, you don't talk about our faith. You don't talk about, what you are doing in the church, simply because you don't want to be labeled as a Christian. And some don't want to be annoyed with the trouble of evangelizing others. They don't want to annoy others with evangelism. They just don't want to share. Paisei. They don't want to be rejected. They don't want to be ridiculed. But all this group of people, they want to enjoy the benefit of being a Christian. They want the blessings of God. They want the glory. They want the grace and the mercy of God. They want people to pray for. They want to enjoy all the benefits of being a Christian, but they don't want to be born again. Every part of us is affected by regeneration. There's this trust in Christ for salvation. There's an assurance that our sins are forgiven. There's a desire to read the Bible daily, pray. There's a delight in worship that you raise up your hand because you know and you resonate with the lyrics of the songs that you sing. There's a desire for Christian fellowship where you come together, you pray together, you share life together, you share great testimonies of how God has been blessing you and your family. There is this sincere desire to be obedient to God's word in Scripture, even though we may fail most of the time. And there is this desire to tell others about Jesus Christ. You see a change person enthusiastic about Christ. This is regeneration. And the second question, how did it happen? Jesus answered that as well. John chapter 3 verse 8. The wind blows wherever it pleases. This is in our new international version. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Now, in a New Living Translation, you cannot explain how people are born of the Spirit. Basically, this is what this verse is saying. Right? The wind blows wherever it wants and all this. And we go back to the Greek word. All right? Pneuma can be translated as spirit, as breath, right? Or as wind. All right? So it can be interused, these three words. And basically, Jesus is saying to Nicodemus at that time, in our lay language today, do you want to know how regeneration takes place? The pneuma, the spirit, blows where it wills. It's like the wind blowing wherever it wishes. You cannot see it, but you can see the effects of it. And that's the way the pneuma is. Jesus clearly said that it is very hard for us to understand or to even see how regeneration takes place. But you can see the effect of a born-again person. You can see the effect of a new creation. you can see the effect of regeneration in a person's life. And this part, in a very short manner, in a very summarized manner, regeneration is the sovereign will of the Holy Spirit. It is mysterious, it is invisible, it is immediate or instantaneous, it is permanent, and it is the beginning of a new creation. Now, I believe most of us here, we have this encounter with God, all right? This is the usual explanation that I use, right? Imagine this is a journey. You were born there. You are going to die there and see Jesus there. This is your timeline, all right? So in my 12 years, even though I was born in a Christian family, I don't know God. And imagine this is a point of encounter, right? This is a point of encounter. So in the 12 years, at the end of the age of 12 years old, I came to a church, celebrated Christmas, just remembered the present, nothing else. 13 years old, 14 years old, I had the privilege to go to Sabah, study there. I went to church every Sunday, just 5 minutes a walk away. Troubling, very torturing. I'm not a Christian, even though I was born in a Christian family. 2 years, 13 years old, 14 years old, still here. Not here yet. And when the end of 14 years old, December 17, I encountered God in a camp. And immediately I was here. I know I've changed for the past 15 years, but I don't know what happened here. One moment, I heard of the gospel, I responded to it, and immediately I was here. This is instantaneous, this is immediate, but definitely something changed. And I believe this happens to most of us here. Suddenly, you just realize that you are a sinner in need of God. And that you have responded in kind that, God, please help me. Please save me. That is regeneration. We cannot explain it, but it is obvious that as you look back, you are a changed person. Now, as you look forward, you are going to be obedient to God. And this is the third part. Genuine regeneration must bring results in life. And this is the difference until we meet God once again. When our time comes, we are obedient to Christ because no one who is born of God will continue to sin. We may fail, yes, but there is this obedient to Christ because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. So if we look here and there, I don't even know God. God is not my business, but here now, I am obedient to Christ. Even though I may fail at times. And secondly, is that we are genuinely having a Christ-like love. Not perfect though, not perfect, but we are learning to love just as Christ has loved us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. It is very, very hard to love. Even harder to forgive. We may want to love our family members who have ill-treated us perhaps in the past. And I have seen so many uncles and aunties die with bitterness in their hearts simply because of absence of love. Love forgives. Love is patient, love is kind, all this. You remember that. When we are genuinely regenerated, we have genuine Christ-like love for one another. And we can be overcoming the world because 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, this is love for God to keep His commands. And His commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. Temptations come, trials come, yes. Being a Christian doesn't mean that we are free from all these troubles, but we have the assurance from God, we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us that will help us to overcome the world. It's going to be hard, but rely on God because God will sustain us. And the next important one is that we are protected from the evil one. 1 John chapter 5 verse 18, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. 1 John 4:4, the one who is in you, the Holy Spirit, is greater than the one who is in the world. So we have this assurance that you are born again, you have the protection from the evil one. And the next one is that we have the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is evident. It may be a bit more. It should be a bit more. As we continue to grow, focusing upon God, that should be more. Even though we may fail, yes. But there should be, could be, must be evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in us. If we have loved less when we have yet to know God, now we love a bit more. If we are less patient before we know God, now we are more patient with one another, and etc. We can know whether the person is born again because of this, the fruit. Every good tree bears good fruit, bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. By their fruit, you will recognize them. So if you've known a person long enough, especially before encountering God and after encountering God, do you see a change? Do you see a change even in your life before you encounter God and after you encounter God? Takeaway before we end today, have you been born again? Are you a new creation? Are you regenerated by God? Is there evidences or is there evidence of the new birth in your life? How are you changed from this point and that point after you encounter God? Do you remember a specific time when regeneration occurred in your life? I know for me, December 17, 1997. It is an important date for me. December 17, 1997. I was baptized in 1999, April the 4th. Important milestone of my life. Are there areas where the results of regeneration are not very clearly seen in your own life? Are we backslided? We were all for God once we encountered Him, but 10 years has passed, 20 years has passed, 25 years, 30 years have passed. Have we forgotten of our first love for God? We are going to cover this in our last sermon in this series. Have we forgotten something important in our lives? That we were regenerated, we were born again, but somehow we just doesn't seem to be living like one. Prayerfully, this will be a reminder for all of us today that salvation comes from God. God is the one who initiated it. And we thank God because most of us here, prayerfully, we are a new creation. We are born again. We are a Christian. And prayerfully, as we continue the journey on until we meet Jesus Christ in the future together as a church, we will pursue holiness. We will remind each other from sinning against God. We will be united together as we move towards serving God and serving His people. Through our love for one another, through forgiveness in our hearts, that we can be united and move together. Join us. Join the church as we move towards this direction to see God once again. Living a life that is blameless before men and brings glory to God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you because of the reminder that our salvation comes from you. You are the one who initiated all this. You are the one who changes us and cleanses us from within. You are the one that have given us the new spirit, the Holy Spirit that is in us, that will sustain us, that will help us to be overcomers of the world. So Lord, we want to thank you for the life that we have lived through in our journey of faith here on earth, that we bring glory to you prayerfully. We did not bring shame to you. And that, Lord, even though we may fail at times of our weakness, we know that, Lord, you will continue to sustain us and bring us through. And Lord, we ask that you will help us, especially for those who have given up perhaps, who have lost their way, or who have backslided from their faith. Lord, we pray that you will help us to identify and to help one another. Because, Lord, this is the church. It is for the sick and the weak. And we pray that, Lord, as we continue to serve one another, to hold on to each other, to carry one another, as we go through life together, this church, KLBC, Desa Park City, will be one that honors you, that glorifies your name. So, Lord, help us and guide us. And we pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.